begin. Let's start again with Pasuk Zayin. Let's review Pasuk Zayin to Psukim. Zayin and Ches go together. Zakun Nesirecha Mishalek Tzachu Mechalav Odu Etzem Mipnimim Saper Gizrasam. Zaku means they're pure. The Nezirecha we learn with the Shalul Rulul Chazara. Nezirecha either means Nezirim Mamish. People, young boys who were makabel upon themselves a term of Naziris. The shortest term of Naziris is 30 days. We have a tradition, and there's a pasuk. In fact, I don't know where the pasuk is. In one of the Nevi'im Achronim, where it was traditional for a young boy to be a Nazir. That's during some point in his adolescence, growing up, before he got married, he would be mekabel upon himself a term of Nazirus, which means 30 days, at least 30 days, in order to practice, in order to be a disciplined person, to restrict himself to pleasures of this world, which is good yayin, not to contaminate to the mason, what were the halachas? He's not allowed to drink a product of the vine, not contaminate the mace, and to let his hair grow long, not to cut his hair. So these are the nezirecha. So it's referring really to the young boys, the young men. The truth is, a woman also can be a nezira. It's Farish and Mishnah. A woman, you don't normally think about that. A woman being a nezira. But a woman also can be.
Also, one of the few that brings it involves in bringing the carbon.
Carbon, yeah.
A nezira and a sota are the only two. Women, only two things that a woman actually gets involved, otherwise they're excluded from any of the ceremony in bringing carbon.
Carbon.
Zira and a sota.
And a sota.
Doesn't
the
carbon?
They don't. They bring a carbon, they're not involved in the service itself. They don't do anything. You know, the Kabbalah, they don't do anything.
Okay, so these are the Nezirecha, and others interpreted that's Nezirecha Mishalek. They're more pure than snow. Or the other interpretation we said was Nezirecha refers to the king, the Nezer, from a crown, that the prince of the Jewish people were more pure than white. Now that would fit very well with assuming that we're discussing Yoshiyahu. Because as you remember, Vayikoinen Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyo, Haloyim Ksum al Sefer, Haloyim Kisuvim al Sefer Akinos, which Chazal interpret mean that the eulogy that Yirmiyah composed for Yoshiyahu is Perek Dalit in Megillas Eicha. The problem with that, and not a problem, but the difficulty is that most of Sukkim here seemingly have very little to do with Yoshiyahu, except for the very end, Mashiach Hashem. Almost all the Pesukim seemingly are discussing Yerushalayim, but if you want to translate Nezirecha, refers to the Nezir, the crown, then even though it's Blashon Rabbim, at least there is some allusion to Yoshiyahu, who was the Melech, and the Melech is the one who wears the crown. Okay, so it was more pure than snow, Tzachu, Mecholav was more Tzachu, it's really the same thing, it's wider, Mecholav, the word Zaku and Tzachu are seemingly very similar. Adu Etzem Mipnimim, their bones are more red than pearls. Sapir, they translated over here, means you have to read the words backwards. Gizrosam means their outline was like, sapir means sapphire stones. Like Moshe Rabbeinu, the luchos were made from even sapir, sapphire. So they're describing their form. Their gizrasam was more their tsura was more pure than sapir. I saw a drush that the word gizrasam refers to this entire pasuk, or at least the end of the pasuk. It refers to the gezeros. It refers to the harsh decrees that came upon the Jewish people. So it started out zaku nizrecha mishalek tzachu mechalav. But now, even though their people, their princes, their young men were beautiful, they were white, they were pure, but odmu etzem mipnimim, odmu means blood. The blood that flowed was more red than pearls. The korban was
pearls are white.
Odmu, there are different types of pearls. There are different types of pearls. Google it.
I'll tell you.
Yeah.
We learned Eishes Chayil. Rachav, Minyan, Nehua. A lot of translations have it as rubies, which I know doesn't follows what it said in the Torah, but over there they translated it as ruvi, simanu, and here that would fit.
Right. So nechnami, the word mipnim doesn't mean the, I translate it as a pearl, but it means precious stones. Mipnimim. Okay, the etzem means, not only does it mean bones, it means etzem means the atzmiot, the essence. That in this essence, in this context, it means that their punishment, the punishment that came upon them, the was more red, was harsher than the was darker than the color of the depth of the redness of these special gems that were red. Now Sapir Gizra Sam then has the kind of meaning the gezeros, the decrees. We translate Gizra Sam to mean their outline, their form, their tzur, what they look like. But the word Gizra Sam obviously relates to the word the gezero. And gezero means a harsh decree. The decree was harsher than sapir. Sapphire is the strongest stone. Okay, is that correct? It's the strongest, but it certainly is a very...
What?
Shamir is the worm.
Oh.
The shamir is the worm that can penetrate, that can break. And the luchos was given on Evan Sapir because to represent that the Torah, there's nothing stronger. It's the strongest stone in the world. So here it says that the gezeros were harsh. They were harsh. They were very difficult to bear, like... as if they were strong. They were intense. The intensity and the toikef, the power of the harsh decrees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought in on Klal Yisrael was like sapir, the harshest stone. So in this interpretation, we're basically breaking up the pasuk Zayin into two parts. The first part we describe the beauty of Klal Yisrael, and we look how far they've fallen, how much they have suffered with harsh decrees that are red, redder than the beauty, the depth of these red stones, and the gzeris were extremely harsh. See, interesting, there's an appeal. I have it over here. I have the kinos in back of the sefer. Let me see if I can find it. One of the most important kinos of Tisha B'Av is kina of when Titus Harasha came into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, here, let me see right here. Here it is. It's the kina Tezayin. Zechor asher oso tsar bifinim. What the enemy did inside. What Titus did when Titus came to the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he stabbed the Pareches and he brought a Zayin into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and did not bear with her all the horrible things that he did.
What's the word bifinim?
Bifinim, yeah. Bifinim means inside. It's interesting that in this edition I have here it says bifnim, but that's not the way it appears in all of the precise kinos. There it says bifinim, which means inside. It's another word for inside, and it says on here. Now I don't know exactly what all this means. Yisaimim giel, orphans he terrorized or he defiled the mogen ma'adam with a red shield. Vayimadeit kov, he measured a line, kimarei adam dam, with the appearance of red. Now, what do these things mean? I don't even know what it means. Al derech pshat, simply means that the shields, they would fight with their shields. They would smash these very heavy shields into their victims. Instead of taking a sword, we think that battle is done. You have a weapon, you have a bow and arrow, or modern times a gun. And you shoot a bullet, but in ancient times, the way you inflicted the most harm is by taking a shield, which can weigh even 100 pounds, and you smash it into your enemy. And that causes him to be crushed, to be disabled immediately. When you do this many times, the shield is full of blood. You may come into battle with a clean, shining shield, but after you crush your first victim, the blood splatters all over the shield. And then when you go to the next victim, there's more blood and more blood. So the pasuk here says is that the terror when they were under attack by the soldiers of Titus, the Roman soldiers, he defiled them with a red shield. And then it says he measured a red line. I don't know really what that means. He measured a red line. I know Netanyahu, in his famous speech in the United Nations, he made the red line. What?
Cross the red line.
Cross the red line. So here it says in the Kina, let me see what it says here. Yesaimim Giel, orphans he defiled, the Mogain Ma'adam with a red shield, Bayimadeid, he measured Kov, a line. He measured a line, Kimare Adam Dam, and the line had the appearance of red. What does that mean exactly? I don't know. I really don't know. I never really saw an interpretation of this Posh Pshat, what this means. He measured a line, a red line, don't cross the line.
He drew a red line.
He drew a red line. What does that mean, he drew a line? I have no idea what this means.
Cross that line, it's going to be blood.
There's going to be blood, a red line, Kimari Adam Dam.
Usually the symbolism.
Okay, but whatever it means, I don't know, but whatever it means, it has to do with red. There's red twice in this kina that describes the horror of the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. It's described with a red shield and a red line. So here, it's exactly what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says, in this interpretation, that the redness, Pasuk Zayin, Zakun Yizrachim Yishalek, Tzachu Mechalov, Odmu Etzen Mipnimim, according to this interpretation, that the Etzen means the essence of the decree, the essence of Hashem's decree was more red than the redness of this reddish stone. This, whatever, what's called a ruby? It's a red stone?
It's Torah, it's called, in the Koshan, it's called an Odem.
The Odem. Okay, the Odem, the red stone, that's we're talking about the Etzen, the essence. Etzen means the essence of the decree was blood, was the red, the redness of blood, darker than rubies. And then Sapir Gizra Sam, the Gezeros, the harsh decrees, was so strong and so overwhelming, there was no escape. It was like sapphire came upon us. If the other stones would have come upon us, maybe we can break the stones. You take a hammer, you take a chisel, you take some type of a patish, and you can smash stones. But yeah.
So it talks about it's Mesamel to the Golos that the Rim Mitzrayim was. Was to remind them of the Golos and Etzem HaShemayim LaTohar, but when they got out to freedom, it became like white changed.
So you went from,
so the red was,
wasn't it blue originally, like the heaven?
What?
Etzem HaShemayim.
I'm just reading here because I wanted to see Mishpatim what it said.
So it connects the Golus to the Geula.
Yeah, the Golus to the Geula.
And Geula is white, and Golus is red. It's exactly what it says here in this pasuk, that originally the Nizrachim were white, and then to the Golus, the harshness is all described in terms of red.
The Geula is as well.
The Geula is white. No, the Geula is red.
When Hashem comes to bring the Geula, it says his white garments will be reddened with blood
of the enemy. Okay, it's also in one of the kinos where HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts of the, okay, that's another day. He has on his robe now the blood of Klal Yisrael. So the blood will be the blood of the enemy of Edom. Their blood will be on Hashem's cloak. Hashem will take revenge for us.
He doesn't say the word red. I just assume that that's what it meant. He doesn't say the word red. He just translates it. But that's what he says. It's the sapphire is for the Golos. It's a much more powerful when they go.
Okay, now let's see Rashi and Pasuk Zayin. Zaku.
Yeah.
There it says Masiv Livnas.
Right.
So wouldn't that imply it's red?
Livnas normally is white.
Sapphire is brick.
No,
Livnas
is brick.
Right. Livnas is a brick, but Livnas is okay, it doesn't say what color sapphire is. We don't know what color. We think the Luchos.
Sapphire brickwork.
Sapphire. What color is sapphire?
Red.
Red, oh, it is red. Sapphire is red.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not a
gemologist.
Gemologist.
I always have this picture in my mind. The Luchos were white. It was white stone. Is that wrong?
Probably is.
Who says?
Lord, it's a white sapphire, but we generally think of a blue sapphire.
Who says we even know what sapphire is? Right. A lot of things we take, we
that's
take.
That's why they don't translate it. They transliterate the word. They just.
Who says we know what it is? We think we have taken a lot of things. We've adapted. We've taken words. We apply it to certain things, but it's not
luchah nesha. You know what the stones in the Choshen were?
No, there's no way.
Yeah, I some of them.
Yeah, but we don't know what those stones really
some
are.
Of them we do, but others.
Do we know the birds? Nesher. All the Mepharshim, Nesher means an eagle. It can't possibly be an eagle, because a Nesher has one of the simonim of a kosher simonim, and Chazal say Nesher has all four non-kosher simonim. So there's no way a Nesher can mean an eagle. Yet in every...
According to the Gemara, Nesher is a vulture.
A vulture. So almost every translation, in every translation it says it's an eagle. But no, it's not an eagle. So, okay, there are a lot of things like this. In any event, we have over here different types of stones. We have red, white, and we have red. Let's see over here. Rashi, this is Pasuk Zayin, Zaku Nizirecha Sodecha. Rashi's first interpretation is Nizirecha means the princes. Sodecha, Kamo Nezer V'Keser. Vani Yomer Nizirecha Mamish. Rashi says, we explained the second edition of Nizirecha Mamish. Shohanyu Megoidle Seyar. They had long hair. V'Noam B'Yoyser Musav Al Basami. Goes back to the previous Pasuk. My people were beautiful. They were beautiful. They were Nizirecha. They had beautiful hair. The beautiful hair of being a Nazir. Odmu Etzem Mipninim. Oysam Shohanyu Mar'ehem Odom Mipninim. There were those that, according to this, the simple interpretation, that their complexion was redder than Marehem, Odom Mipnimim. Mipnimim obviously means some type of stone that is red. The Gizra Sam, their form, their Tsura Kmo Sapir. What has happened to these people? Rashi leads into the next pasuk. Choshach Torom Mipichomim. Their complexion has become darker than black coal. Let's see Targum. We didn't do the Targum on this pasuk. Zayin. Havu Viriron Niziroha. The appearance, or Viriron means they were pure, the purity, borer of the Niziroha, of the Nizirim, was Yatir, was more than Mitalga, more than snow. She'a'u, Yatir min Chalovoi. And She'a'u means their milk. They're whiter. Over here it says She'a'u yatir min chalovoi. Here it translates the word She'a'u to mean chalokim. What is a chalok? They're here. Chaloka. A chaloka. What's a chaloka? A haircut. Right? Is that what it means? A chaloka. You have a.
It's an Arabic word.
I don't know what it means then. Chalokim yosim, their portions. I'm not sure what this word means. The word she'a'u, need a jastro. She'a'u yatir min chalovoi, was whiter than milk. Let's leave for now. Samiku chaze yatir min yoharin. Their appearance was more the yoharin. Samiku, they were redder. Chezu means their appearance. Their appearance was redder more than Yoharin. Yoharin means precious stones. Precious stones. Ucheshav Ziza Partsufehon. And their appearance, their Partsuf, was like sapphire. Was like sapphire. Ucheshav Ziza, I think it's sapphire. Or sapphire. What?
In a Chumash, you translate sapphire that way, but these are.
So sapphire means shaziva. So their appearance was more beautiful than.
It just says Ebenkuha.
So according, one thing that we take from the Targum very clearly translates this very difficult word, Gizrasam. I told you Gizrasam means they're cut. How they were cut, meaning their form. The Targum says we're referring specifically to their partsuf. Their face. Their face, the tsura, the parts of means
the appearance
of the head, specifically of the head, was more beautiful than a sapphire. Okay, let's take a look and let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk ches choshach mishchor taram. But now their taram, their appearance has turned darker than coal. Loy nikru bachutzos. They're not noted, they're not recognizable in the street. Tzofad aram al atzmam. Their skin has shriveled upon their on themselves around their bones. Yaveh shoya koes. They become dry like a piece of wood. Pasuk ches. In Rashi, Mishachar is pechem, our coals. Etzem, loshay mare. Etzem means their appearance. Kamucha etzem, hashmaim lotar, the appearance of the heaven, its purity. Tzofat, nikmat, shriveled. Then it's chaber ve'im le'dimyon, and it has shriveled and has cleaved to the bones. And there's no equivalent to this word in Tanakh to try to understand what it means. We have no choice but to understand what it means from the context. The Ra'at, to the Targum, Pasuk Ches. Choshach min uchma. Now here he adds in some elaborations, some embellishments to Targum. Choshach min uchmosa digolusa. The golus is darker than coal. Okay, the word digolusa means referring over here to Klal Yisrael, their experience of going into exile. That's become darker for them in exile than the darkness of coal. Rave hoin la ishtimod un bimochozin, and their appearance. Rave hoin means their appearance. I'm sorry, they put a comma after the word rave hoin. Choshach min uchma de golusa rave hoin. Read it backwards. The rave hoin, their appearance has become darker than coal. Their appearance in golus, the way the Jewish people look in the Golus, is darker than the appearance of coal. Lo ishtemodu b'mochozin. They are not recognizable in the streets. When you see a Jew in the street, you have no way of knowing, is he Jewish, is he not Jewish? Adak mashchehoin al garmehon. Their skin. Moshach mashchehoin is a very common word in the Gemara. Their skin has cleaved to their bones. Garmehon means their bones. Pirich hava Kikeso has become dry. Pirich means dry, like kikeso is a bone, like a piece of wood. Their bones have become dry like a piece of wood. Now there are a few important things about this pasuk. There's a famous Gemara where the Gemara talks about a boy who was they read for him a shidduch. They proposed a young girl as a suitable mate for this young man. And he said, I know that girl. I see her in shul. No way will I marry her. I make a neder. I take a vow over my dead body. Even if she is the last girl in the world, the last woman in the world, I will not marry this woman. I take a neder to do so. So they told this, I forgot, to one of the Amoraim. And they told him what the boy said. So he took the girl. And why? Obviously, because the girl was not very attractive. So he went and he took the girl. The girl was very poor, dirt poor, destitute. And the Samoira, he sent the girl
a makeover
to clean her up. To clean her up and to just basically to wash her, to bathe her, put on new clothing. And then they passed the girl in front of the boy. And they said to the boy, is this the girl that you made the neder about? And he was shocked. Wow, what a beautiful woman. And they were mad at the neder. Was Martin, and he got married and lived happily ever after. So and then the Amora said, it's a Gemara Nazir. And he said, the Amora said that it's only the Bnei Yisrael are truly, they are truly beautiful. It's only because of the Golas they have a darkish complexion. It's only due to the Tsar of Golas does Klal Yisrael do they fall into this state of darkness. Now the truth is, this is really a kina. We all know this kina. It's towards the end of the kinois. Let's see if I could find it. When Yirmiyahu, when he was living in Yerushalayim, he sees this black woman. He sees a woman dressed in black. Is it a Mishnah? I don't know where it is.
In the Lamed, they did that because the way you mount the neder is that if you had known something when you made the neder, that you wouldn't have done it if I had these facts. If I knew that she looked this way, I would never
have made the neder. But then the point is, he cleaned her up. the Ramari, he cleaned her up, he gave her, and therefore, even though she had a darkish complexion, that was just an external, that was something that was the chitzonius, but the pnimius was still beautiful. This pasuk and this targum is really elaborated upon in some degree in the kina chof zayin. What is that in kina chof zayin? Oz b'lo sefek yofa kisirtza hey nereilim tzvaku chutza. Here it is. Ben Chilkiyo, how many of you from the Kiyo, you don't have this. Ben Chilkiyo, me Armon Kiyot, so when he went out of the Beis HaMikdash, when Yirmiyo, he left the Armon in the Beis HaMikdash, when he saw the Chorbin. Isha, here are the key words. Yifas Toyar Minuveles Motza. It's a contradiction. He saw a woman, oxymoron. He found an Isha that was Yifas Toyar, a beautiful form, Minuveles, disgusting, filthy, dirty, Motza. He said to her, "Gozrani lecha, Yirmiya said to her, I decree upon you, b'shem Elokim v'adam, im sheid la sheidim at oylev ne'adam. Are you a human being or are you a demon? Tell me who you are. Demus yofiech kivos v'adam. You look like a human being. The demus of your beauty appears to be like a human being, but pachtech, but your the terror that you display." The yirasech kimalochim levadam, the pachan, and the yir that's upon you is like an angel, or like a demon in this case. So she responded, "Hein lo yished ani, v'lo yigoylem pachas, I'm not a demon, I'm not a goylem, whatever that means, a goylem pachas, a goylem that's not worth anything. Yodua ha'isi," she basically goes on to say, "I represent Knesset Yisrael. I am Klal Yisrael. And therefore my essence is Yoifi, is beauty, and on the outside I'm dark. On the outside I am dressed in darkness, and my appearance appears to be full of pachad. It's only due to the tsarois that I am going through, that the Churban is taking place now, and my children are going into Golis. That's why I appear the way I appear. But the truth is, my essence is Yoifi." That is brought out here many times. She was an Isha Yifas Toyar. And it says, Demus Yofiech Kibosa Vadam. She says, "I really am a beautiful woman," or the Tzur is a Yoifi, but it's only because of the Golis, that's why I appear the way I appear. And that's really what it says over here in this pasuk. The pasuk over here says, is that even though we start out the pasuk Zayin, that Zaku Nizidecha Mishalak Tzachu Mechalav Odmuat Semipnimim Sapir Gizrosan Choshach Mishachar Torom, in Golis, we appear to be dark. But the darkness is only external. It's not the truth, it's not the Pnimim. The Pnimius is really full of Yoifi. Okay, Yavesh Hayukhaitz refers to that due to the Tzar of Golos, we lack emotion. We become our bones. You say someone's a piece of wood. They have no lachluchas, no emotion. This is the Tzar of Golos, to be a kalta litvak. This is the Tzar of Golos. A person needs to have some emotion in order to properly react and deal with his seviva. Yavesh hoyok eitz begematria litvaks. No, just joking. Litvak is like pacha. You know what pacha is? Anyone go to a kiddush? It's pacha. Pacha is cold. It shuckles. Right? It's jello. It shuckles. And when you try to warm it up, it gets ruined.
Yeah, of course.
So pacha is the perfect marshal for a litvak. Again, remember this. Don't forget this. There's only one thing you remember from Sefer Eicha. Remember this. Pacha is a marshal for a litvak. It's cold. It shuckles. And if you try to warm it up, it gets ruined.
But you can say that.
Yeah. And he was disgusting to him.
Rav Gifter, when he went from Virginia to Paris, he was introduced to the chat for Shabbos.
Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk test. Notice we're going to the letters of the Aleph Beis. Each pasuk begins the next letter of the Aleph Beis. It was better those that were killed by the sword, they were more fortunate than those that were killed through famine. Shehem yozuvu midu korim. The people that were killed by the sword, they lie in the streets, stabbed. they flow midukarim. I'm sorry. The other way, yazuvu midukarim. Their bodies flow from being from exploding, from being stabbed. Mitnuvo sadoi, from the fruits of the field. Now, what does this mean? Let's see the Rashi. Rashi explains. Shehem yazuvu midukarim. Now, the word midukarim means. Okay, it means to be stabbed, but it doesn't necessarily mean that over here. Let's see Rashi. Chalei horof, the people that were slain by famine, hayu nefuchim, their bodies were swollen. Rachmana, some people that are in a state of famine, their bodies swelled. Merech tenuvos hasadeh, from the fragrance of the fruits of the field. Now, what do I mean the fruits of the field? Shahayu, this was a technique. This was a wicked technique of the enemy. Shahayu ha'ivim tzoylim basar al hasav. And they deliberately would take meat and they would roast meat. There was a siege. You have to remember that Yerushalayim during the time of the Bayis Rishon was under siege for 3.5 years. And the Bayis Sheni as well, there was a long siege. So it was like 3 years. There was a siege. And during the siege, there was starvation in Yerushalayim. And in order to torture Klal Yisrael, the enemy would roast meat outside the wall of the city, and the wind would blow, and the fragrance of this delicious meat would pass over the starving people, and the taiva for food was so great it would cause their stomachs to burst. And that's what it means over here. Midukarim means to, in this context, it means to explode due to the intense desire for food. They would roast meat over the grass, and the fragrance would enter into the people that were swollen from famine. That's the word midukarim in this pasuk. And their stomachs would explode, would burst. And then what would happen? Upershon, and their bodily, the mucus or the waste that was inside their stomachs would come flowing out. It would flow out. Vahareze misas nivul. This was a detestable form of death, worse, yoseh meharu v'cherf, worse than those that were killed by the sword. Medukodim, what does it mean, the medukodim? According to Rashi, mevukoim, it means to bust, to explode. Bein nefichas rov, it means both. Bein nefichas rov, bein bikua cheref, korudiki. So it really means both. He's saying that in this context it means both. It means to be perforated by a sword, and also means when the stomach would burst open through by exploding from intense pressure that was triggered by smelling the fragrance of the fruit. Mitnuva sodai, tnuva means from the fruit. Tnu means fruit, the fruit of the field. Misharashim. Now here's another, Rashi is giving a new interpretation. It's saying another reason how they died. And then in fact, though, both the Rashi is really mixing the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. The people in their desperation to find food would eat grass and would eat poison. Mitnuvo sadai, from the fruit of the field. The fruit of the field here refers to Misharashim, the asavim, from roots and grass. Shemalaktim, that they would collect. The Oichlim. Rav parsham, there was an abundance of pirsham, umausam, and their and this. There was an abundance of pirsham umausam. It means waste. By eating poisonous grasses and other things to find food, it caused their bodies to produce an abundance of mucus or of waste, which flowed into the streets when their stomachs exploded. Excrement, all different types of pirsham and ma'usam, different types of excrements, all different types of waste flowed from their bodies. So we go back to the pasuk according to Rashi. The pasuk then means toivim hayu chal lecheref. The people that were killed by sword, they were better off mechal leirav than those that were killed by the sword. Shehem yazuvu midukarim. Now shehem simply means that because the people that were killed by famine, yazuvu, their bodies flowed with waste. They flowed, they were puddles of waste. Midukarim, when their bellies exploded, Why did their bellies explode? Because they inhaled the fragrance, mitnuvo sodoi, of the fields, of the enemy roasting meat in the fields. That's what caused their stomachs to explode, or Rashi in the second interpretation, or because they ate poison. They were so desperate for food, they actually ate grass, they ate the earth, they ate whatever they ate, and that caused their stomachs to explode and produce and flow out with disgusting waste which they lied in as their bodies, as they died. Now the truth is, the second temptation of Rashi, the Chazal say, happened during the time of the Bayis Rishon. And the time of the Bayis Rishon, the enemy did not employ this tactic of roasting meat on the outside, but instead they would just plainly starve them to death. And when they starved to death, they ate whatever they could find on the ground. Food, it wasn't edible. There are horror stories like this from the Holocaust. I recently read a story about they also in the concentration camp, especially towards the end of the war, when they were waiting to be liberated. It was only a short time, but it was still there. There was absolutely nothing to eat, and people would go and they would take bark of trees. They'd go out to the field, they'd take trees, and they would bite the bark and try to suck the bark, at least to extract some nutrients to stay alive for another few days until the Allies would come and liberate them. And that was even worse, because the Allies came and liberated them, they didn't know what to do, and they gave them food and they died instantly. They gave them because they have to be properly adapted. And one of the stories I read is that when liberation, one of the concentration camps, so a tank, the whole liberation was done by one tank. Who was it? The United States? I don't know who was the United States. And two jeeps. Tank and two jeeps came to liberate one of the concentration camps. And the soldier in the tank, he saw the horrors that he never could have possibly imagined. So he had in his tank two packs of cigarettes and a box of crackers. So he threw into the room a box of crackers and the cigarettes. I don't know what happened with the cigarettes, but 100 people tried to stampede for that box of crackers, and almost many of them died. So it was even worse, the liberation. They were waiting over here to the very end, and the liberation, when finally someone threw in a box of crackers. That's what the soldier thought. What can I do for these people? That itself was a kiss of death for many of the people. So here it describes, to some degree, something very similar here in Pasuk Tes. Let's see what it says in the Targum. Pasuk Tes. Ma'alei havoi kitilei saifa. The people that were killed by the sword were better off. Yatir, better, they were better off. It was good for them more. Min kitilei chifan. Better than those who died through starvation. Why? Diktilei saifa, those that were killed by the sword, doivin, they flowed. Now the Targum over here seems to be saying different than what it says in Rashi. Diktilei saifa doivin, the people that were killed by, they flowed. Kad inun mevazin kere sehoin, their bodies, they flowed. I guess they flowed with blood when their stomachs were pierced by the sword. Nin, more so, nin mod achaluma alal chakla, more so what the people who were starving ate from the field, the chakla meaning from the growth of the fields, which was poisonous. Unifichi chafna, wait, perik reson min mechla, and the people that were swollen, unifichi rav mufrad bitneim. The people whose stomachs, unifichei chafna, those whose
that's the ones where the stomach explodes.
Stomach explode. Perik.
That's how you have.
It was swollen. Nefiach means swollen. Those that were swollen from famine. Perik. Perik means it burst open. Kirei sehoin min mechla. Their stomach burst open from the food that the poisonous food that they ate. Okay, so seemingly what he's saying over here, the Targum, is that he's translating the word. He's translating the words of Medu Kodim, not like Rashi, is that the people that were killed by sword, they just died quickly. Their stomachs or their bodies were pierced by the sword, and the blood, they bled out. They bled out and they died quickly. Whereas the people that were starving, they ate poisonous grasses and herbs, whatever they can find, that caused their stomachs to swell and to explode, and that form of death involved much more pain and torture. So it was better of people that were killed by the sword than the people that were killed by famine. Like Chazal say that Nesef HaTzadik, that sometimes the Kadosh Baruch Hu takes for the Tzadik prematurely, he should not have to suffer the greater punishment, the greater sorrow, the torture that comes later on.
It sounds similar to the jugs of water that were filled with
iron. Yeah, right. During time by Israel, when the Ishmaelim, they fed us salty meat and salty fish, and that caused us to have a thirst. And then they brought forth these canteens that were filled with hot air, and they faked out the Jews by putting pebbles, heavy stones, in the canteens to make it appear that they're full of water. The truth was they were empty, full of hot air. When they opened up the canteen, they inhaled the hot air. That hot air killed them. That brought about their death in Echanami. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk, a very frightening pasuk. Pasuk Yud, Yidei Noshim Rachmonios Bishlu Yaldehem, the hands of the Noshim women that in the past were Mole Rachamim, they cooked their own children. Hoyu Levaroi Slamo, the word Levaroi Shrashu will tell us in detail, means food. It's a word for food. The children was food for them. B'shever Basami, at the time my people were broken. Let's see, Rashi. Livaros means food. L'machol k'mo v'loivoro isom lechem. He did not prepare, serve them.
That's right.
Did not serve them bread.
When the brothers went to purchase bar.
Bar in Mitzrayim. Bar means grain, but it means food. So here means v'loy varlo oisam lachmi, did not serve them bread. La havroi says David, and talks about the people, this geichas, the family of, I think it was Barzilai Hagiladi. La havroi says David, they fed David food. They were good to David. They provided David food when David ran away from Avshalom. Okay, so now we hear the word la havroi. It means food. So here the pasuk says that the Noshim Rachmonios, they cooked their children. Their children was food for Lama, was for them. When our people were destroyed, let's see Targum Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud says Yidei Nishaya, the hands of women, the Hava Mirachamin Al Miskinin, that in the past we had Rachmonis upon the poor. So the Targum we're going to see is coming to allude to a Medrash. Women that had compassion upon the poor, Bishilu Ule Mehoin, would cook their children, havo lemisad lahon, and the children was food for them, behoin tevar, at the time when the kafna, when the famine broke them, di isperas kinishto diami, when the Knesset Yisrael, the kinishto diami, when the Jewish people, when they were broken, the time when the Jewish people were broken, at the time of famine, they were broken by they did this terrible thing of eating their own children. And how could it be these women who were Rachmanios ate their own children? That is what part of the klala was. And the Lama Farshim are very perplexed by this thing. Even during the Holocaust, the historians have taken note that this never happened. We don't have any record. I shouldn't say no record, but it wasn't something that exists in the Holocaust where mothers would eat their own children. And the worst,
They might have unfortunately
killed their children.
So as to not have to feed them with.
Okay, that's another story. Or in order to save.
In Israel, there was a terrorist came in.
But there are stories where parents took the lives of their children for whatever reason, but we don't have a record where parents they kill their children in order to eat them. So how could it possibly? Because this goes against human nature. Such a thing does not exist. For a mother to eat her own child, how could this possibly happen? So the Mefarshim, they tell us in Echanami, this was l'mala miderech hateva. Ad k'deikach, they say that they were seized by a fit of insanity. They lost their minds.
It says that when the Ebenezer makes a point of saying, because of the famine, because of the rog, that's what they
lost their minds.
They were so compassionate by nature, it changed their teva completely.
It was a curse. The curse was lamala. The whole curse of the Churban was lamala miderech hateva. It's a pasuk in the Torah. We also the sar b'neichem uvnoseichem. It says the Pharisee in the Torah that you will eat the flesh of your children, your sons and daughters. It's lamala miderech hateva. And the pasuk records that such a thing indeed happened. However, not everyone, the Medrash puts a positive twist on this pasuk. It does not mean chas v'shalom that it can be such a thing that a mother can eat her own child. What it means is that the families were very close, and if a neighbor lost a child or a neighbor suffered a tragedy at this time, so the women would had rachmanis on their neighbor and would come and give them some food. But by giving them the food, they gave them the last piece of bread. And by giving their neighbor the last piece of bread in order to comfort their neighbor for the loss of their child, there was nothing left for the mother to feed her child. So her child died from starvation. She gave away her own child's last piece of bread to her neighbor who was suffering, was sobbing and suffering over the loss of her child. So it's indirectly. The Noshim Rachmanios, by giving food to their neighbor who was suffering, indirectly caused, it was as if Bishlu Yaldehen. They really should have saved the food for their own children. Yes, a misplaced compassion. Exactly. And they didn't know. They couldn't tolerate seeing their neighbor suffer such intense mourning. Their children were just crying from starvation, but their neighbor was going out of their mind. So they gave them the last piece of bread. By giving them the last piece of bread, what is your child going to eat? So the child died. The child who died here is described as if Bishlu Yaldehen, but does not necessarily mean. Does not mean that they actually ate up their own children. A third interpretation, this is more a drush, is that the Yidei Noshim, this is really a modern day vard, is Noshim Rachmanios Bishlu Yaldehen, is that if you're too good to your children, you're destroying them. Too much Rachmanis is not good. It's Bishlu Yaldehen, and it's going to come back to haunt you. You have to have tough love. Is that what it's called? Tough love. A little, you have to be good to them, but you also have to go hard on them, to discipline them, and teach them what life is all about. So, why? Because the women generally are the ones who raise the children. The men are out there making parnassa.
Women are considered more compassionate.
Women are considered more compassionate. So
this. That's why you should really tell the men that they need to be more compassionate.
Okay, so this is, so Sacha called three interpretations. Pasha Pshad is, they actually ate up their own children. Lamala Miderech HaTeva, they were overtaken by a fit of insanity. A second interpretation is they didn't mamash their children, they had misplaced compassion by giving away their food to other people who are suffering, leaving nothing for their own children, and their children was there for it's viewed as if they ate their own children. Or just a drush is that through having too much rachmanis on your children, you're ultimately ruining the child. It's like Bishlu Yaldehen. Let's go to the next pasuk, Yud Aleph, Kila Hashem Es Hamoso, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kila, he finished off. He poured out his anger. Shofach, or kila means it came to an end. This is a blessing in disguise, that through the Churban Beis HaMikdash, through the Churban Beis HaMikdash, it came, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger was paid off. Hashem is no longer angry at us, Hashem now can have rachmanis upon us. Shofach, he poured out charo napo, his fury, vayatzes esh bit tzion, he kindled the fire in tzion, vatochal yisoydech, and he ate up its foundations. Rashi, pasuk yud alef, kila Hashem es hamoso, asher bo'ar abo, kam ashanim, the anger that was burning in HaKadosh Baruch Hu for many years. Ata now kilo oisam, he vent out. Behinokmoy mehem, he vent out upon them when he took vengeance. He took vengeance against them. But in kilo means it came to an end. That anger that was built up for all the years that Klal Yisrael sinned against him is no longer. Hashem punished us, and now we can start fresh, a new leaf. Targum pasuk yud aleph. Saf Hashem Yas Chumsei, Hashem finished off. Saf means it came to an end. Yas Chumsei is anger. Shedo al Yushalayim, he poured it on Yushalayim. Yas to Koifu Zeh, his intense anger. The Asek Bu'ur Lapid Esha Sa, he kindled a fire, a torch in Bitzion, Va'achlas Ashva Soha, and it consumed its foundations. Ashva Soha means foundation was kind of, now this indeed is a very important part because there's a very famous Nefesh HaChayim. A lot of people quote this. I don't really, it's very, very, very mystical, is that Titus didn't really destroy the Bayis, the rest was reversed to the Bayis Sheni. Hashem destroyed the Bayis Sheni. You take a look at the Kina, it's very interesting. The Kina that describes Tito is destroying the Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't say anywhere that he destroyed it. All he did was he defiled it. The Kinah Tes Zayin, it says, Zuchor Asher Osa Tsar Bifinim. What did he do? Sholaf Charbo, he drew his sword, Bo Lefnai V'Lefnim, Machlasein Beis, he defiled. The word Beis means he terrified, or also means defiled. Kitime Lechem Aponim, V'Gidar Porachas Balashteponim, Yisem Giel B'Mogim Odom. It goes on to describe how he came into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. No, so then when it goes on to say that the destruction happened, it's very clear in the Kina, exactly this Pasuk, that you, Hashem, you sent down the fire. It was not his fire. Let me read you the words. Al Pesach Arbayis Hechelovo, he came to Kodesh HaKadoshim, Ke Ato Kotzavto V'hir Sheso Lefanois. Where is it? Yeladim Hashem Lechem, I thought I stood over here, maybe I'm making a mistake. The Hashem is the one that sent the fire. Hashem sent fire into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It was not Tita, so maybe it's not here. Here it is. It would be Al-Neb Be'ez. Mimor, here it says here. The Al-Neb Be'ez Eish, and the house that is a fire, meaning a house of Shechina, Mimoroim Sholach Eish. The Kina says that the fire that came down to destroy the Beis HaMikdash was not the fire of Titus. It was the fire from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was a divine fire. And that's really what it says in this pasuk. The pasuk says...
You read it that way, but you don't have to.
Okay, you say that it was, he was the Shliach. So therefore, everything that's happening is really being done through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he was just the agent. But literally it says here in this pasuk that Hashem was Kila Beis HaMoso Shavach Aronapo. And he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayatzes Eish Bitzin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that set fire to the Beis HaMikdash in punishment for our sins. What did Titus do? He just defiled the Beis HaMikdash. He defiled it because we defiled it, because we did not appreciate what we had. We were really defiling it. He just went and he defiled it in a more tangible way by stabbing the paroches, collecting the kelim, and bringing a zone into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Once it was defiled through Titus, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he sent down the fire to actually consume the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Yud Beis. Lo yaminu balchi eretz v'chol yoshvei sevel ki yovet tsar v'oyeh b'sharei Yerushalayim. What happened was the unimaginable. No one, not even the goyim, would believe that, even the kings of the earth and the inhabitants of the world would believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the enemy would succeed, the tsar, and the oyeh would be successful in coming up into the gates of Yerushalayim. Rashi Pasuk, there is no Rashi, Pasuk Yud Beis in the Targum. Lo yhavei mehemin mal kivas ara v'chol yorei sevel. The kings of the world and the inhabitants of the earth did not believe. Arum ye'ol nevuchanetzar rashi'ah unevuzardon be'el devavah. So Rashi over here is translating this in reference to the Bayis Rishon, Nevuchanetzar and Nevuzardon, his general, be'el devavah, that they were able to they are the enemies, l'nichso amo. L'nichso means to slaughter the people based Yisrael, Besar Ayod Yerushalayim, in the gates of Yerushalayim. No one would believe that such a thing was possible, that this could happen. And especially, the Medrash says, Nebuchadnezzar did not believe that such a thing, because Nebuchadnezzar was a remnant or at least he had a legacy from his great-great-grandfather, what happened at the time of Sanherif. 220 years ago, when Sanherif tried to destroy Yerushalayim, he came up there with 180,000 soldiers, some say millions, there were 180,000 generals, and they tried to destroy Yerushalayim, and miraculously that night, all of the soldiers died. And there were only a handful, number of people that survived. And among the handful was Nebuchadnezzar. And he saw the Yad Hashem, and that's why he never actually went to the Beis HaMikdash to see its destruction. He only watched from a distance because he was afraid that he would be killed, just like Sancheriv, his army was killed. So he did not believe it, but yet it did happen. It did happen, and this was something was shocking. Now, even though
he looked for an omen that it was okay,
right? He sent the arrows in all four directions, and everywhere where he shot the arrow, it turned towards Yerushalayim. And what else did Nebuzaradan also? He took note that the walls began to sink every single day, a couple of tefachim. He measured the walls, and every single day he noticed the walls sunk more and more. And he realized he did not need to do anything. There's a legend that Josephus writes about. I don't know if they say it's a question if it's true or not, because a lot of what Josephus wrote was under duress by the Romans. But whatever it is, but Josephus writes that Titus, when he came to the Beis HaMikdash and he observed from a distance of what was going on, he said, the truth is, I don't need to do anything to destroy this temple. The people they're fighting among themselves so much, they'll destroy themselves. All I have to do is let them kill each other out. There was so much sinas chinam among the people themselves. Titus remarked, I can just sit back and do nothing. The people themselves will kill each other through fighting. So when he told me, it's very...
Today, we're going into the Iron Age, right?
Yes.
So what's going on in Shulayim? They're fighting against the people who are with the pigs, claws, and trying to pull down the walls by building this more state. So the Jews are fighting against the Jews.
Okay, that's a big problem. That's what he said.
Right, it's a problem, but not everybody is from in this.
You're right. 100%. The sinah, like someone here mentioned very, very cleverly, is that we only have two things. This kina, Zechorah she'osa tzar, we have to really learn it together one day, inside in detail. Zechorah she'osa tzar bifinim, it mentions the entire event of what happened, and it says the only thing that's left over is the koisel hamaravi. That's the only thing that's left over. And also mentions how he defiled the Beis HaMikdash when he came. And we know that when he defiled the Beis HaMikdash, he commented to Josephus is that the sinas chinam here is intense. I need not do anything. They'll self-destruct on their own. The walls every single day are sinking lower and lower on their own. Everywhere I shoot an arrow, the arrow goes in this direction. So the truth is, what we have left, Bizman Hazeh, these two things. All we have left, Bizman Hazeh, is the Koisel Hamaravi and Sinas Chinam. This Kina is what we have left today. What it says in the Kina, the Koisel Hamaravi, the part that says here that Hashem Vitzog Achar Kosleinu V'lerov Rivo. Al tzad ma'arovi lezecher hisrid bo. The tzad ma'arovi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he left over as a remnant. So we all have a very positive twist. Baruch Hashem, we have the Kosel Hamaravi. You know why we have the Kosel Hamaravi as a zecher? A zecher for the sinas chinam. That's what the Kosel Hamaravi is for. We think, on a positive note, the Kosel Hamaravi, it's unbelievable, right? Kosel Hamaravi, a place to go daven. But the same Kosel Hamaravi was the Kosel Hamaravi that Titus tried to destroy and did not destroy. And when he tried to destroy it, it was only because of the Sinas Tchinam, which brought about the Churban Bayit Sheni, which he himself commented that I don't have to do anything. They'll destroy themselves. The people here, they're fighting among themselves. So when we remember the only thing that's left from the time of Titus, which he did not succeed in conquering, it also automatically triggers the other thing that's left over from the time of the Bayit Sheni, and that is the Sinas Chinam that has not gone away, which is what's holding back the rebuilding of the Bayis of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, when it says here And no one in the world can believe that they would destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And the Keynote really mentions this in very great detail, how the people, when they were watching Titus enter in the Beis HaMikdash, they all said, there's no way he's going to make it, he's going to survive. The Kodesh HaKadosh was the place where Nadav v'Avihu tried to bring in Esh Zar, and what happened to them? They were killed. The Kodesh HaKadosh is the place where V'lo Yavai, the Pasuk says, no one can enter the entire year. So they say, oh listen, Titus, he got to Yerushalayim, he came into the Hazara, but when he's going to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, everyone, the spectators were watching, they said, that's it, it's curtains, he's not coming out there alive. And that's what it says in the Keynote. The Keynote over here says, Avoseinu, our forefathers, Zara, Kichnisu, Bachurov, when the young men, Nadav v'Avihu, when they brought there an Esh Zara, what happened to them? Achla Esh, they were consumed by a fire. So there's no way he's going to survive. And when he came out alive, after Vizet, Titois, Zoyna, Tsoya, a filthy Zona, Hichnis, V'loy Nichva V'esh, and he was not burned by fire. It was the ultimate shock for Klal Yisrael that he was able to do this and nothing happened to him. And that's what this pasuk alludes to. The pasuk, according to the Targum, alludes to what happened during the time of the Bayi Yisurishan. But the same pasuk can also be interpreted in reference to what happened to the Bayi Sheni. Loi heminu malchi eretz v'chol yoshvei sevel. They could not believe ki yovei tsar. Titus, Zuchar Sha'osa Tsar Bifinim, what he could do, V'oye V'sharei, what he can accomplish. They all sat back and watched, and they said, "It's not. Don't worry, it's not going to happen, it's not going to succeed." Yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed him to succeed because the Shechina already had left. The Gemara says, I've got the Hebrew expression, but ground grain, ground wheat, he ground. Techina. It's an expression.
Like he plowed already.
Plowed. Right. So what he did already was a done deal. It was already a done deal from before. Okay, we're up to Pasuk Yud Gimel. We will stop over here.
Take the rest of the room. Yeah.